The greatest luxury adventures on earth. Abercrombie & Kent. Robot building supplies. Robots got it. On SEN, Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Hello and welcome to Dwayne's World. Great to have you with me. And the number is 1-300-736-736 on this beautiful day. 1-300-736-736. The open line for Werribee Kia, top dollar paid for all trade-ins at Werribee Kia. I want a few of your overreactions from the Mask series. I got a few of my own. Nick D'Arcetto is going to join me a little bit later on with a few of his overreactions from the Mask series. There are no winners and losers from the preseason win-loss-wise, but there are winners and losers in reality. Preseason injuries can kill a team's season before a game's played, and thankfully there hasn't been any season-ending knee injuries or bone breaks yet. We've got two games to come today, North Melbourne and Sydney and Geelong and Essendon. But the fans are not stupid. You know what you've been seeing. I want your thoughts. 1-300-736-736. You know exactly what you've been seeing pre-season, regardless on the scoreline. And I'll give you a few of my overreactions to the Mask series and then take a couple of yours. Don't forget you can get me on the speckled text as well, 0433 98 11 16. That's the speckled text number. Speckled cash loans up to $2,000 paid fast. A few of mine before yours. St Kilda will improve. That's a given. You can put these things in the time capsule and play them back post-season, but St Kilda will improve. 14th last year. They'll finish higher than that in 2020. I've got no doubt whatsoever. Brett Ratten at the helm. I like what he's done so far. He's an experienced coach with a whole new group of guys. Heaps of experienced guys from other clubs all look to be quality. So I like what he's putting together list-wise, and I like what he's putting together play structure-wise, Brett Ratten. Really impressed with St Kilda. Love the way Max King's looking. I know they've lost Bruce, but I reckon their forward line's going to be able to kick some good scores. So, yeah, put that in the time capsule. St Kilda definitely improved, finished higher than they did and in last season's ladder wash-up, and they will finish. I reckon they could contend for the 8 in 2020, but they'll at least move up two or three spots. Adelaide will go backward. 11th with 10 wins last season, the Adelaide Crows. They'll struggle to win 10 this year, so that's, I don't mind that going into the time capsule as well. Adelaide, I think, will definitely struggle this season. I'm a bit disappointed by their preseason, and I'm sure a few of their fans are. Carlton, they're a worry too. The Blues finished 16th, though, last year, and most thought they'd improve on that in 2020. I think they still will actually improve on the 16th they had last year, Carlton, but I wouldn't mind hearing from some Carlton fans. But 16th to 15th or 14th is still probably not the kind of improvement Carlton fans were hoping for. It's not too much to expect they'll jump a couple of spots, and but they won't threaten the eight. That's the problem for Carlton fans. And at the end of last season, I thought, and I think a few Carlton fans thought, that they might be the big 2020 improver. I think most believe they might not be now, but I think they still will jump a couple of spots. I think Port fans should start to get used to the thought of having Ken Hinckley around for a little while. I don't think he's going anywhere at the end of this season. I think Port will make the eight. They only missed the eight by one win last year anyway, so it's not a massive prediction. Port won 11 games last season, and Essendon and the Dogs finished 7th and 8th with 12 wins, one ahead of Port Adelaide. So no problem with saying Port will go up, and I think Ken Hinckley will keep his job and be there in 2021. And 1-300-736-736, your thoughts on this. Richmond, West Coast, Brisbane, Collingwood and the Giants, they'll all be the teams fighting for the top four spots and be the flag favourites at various times this year, I reckon. Richmond and the West Coast and Brisbane are just about joint flag favourites now. Collingwood and the Giants will look really good at stages. They already look really good, and they were great last year. Given the Giants made the grand final, they don't have to improve that much. But I want to see Geelong today first before I put them into that bunch of Richmond, West Coast, Brisbane, Collingwood and the Giants. The Cats finished the home and away season top of the ladder last year, so it wouldn't take much for them to drop down to third or fourth, but hey, they might be a better chance to win the flag from third, fourth or fifth than they were from top. 1-300-736-736 is the number. If you'd like to join me, love you to join me. We've got a four-day general admission pass to the Rolex Australian Formula One Grand Prix to give away to the best caller in the next 10 minutes before Nick D'Arcetto joins me. So if you want to jump on the line and you've got a great overreaction that I like the most, then you'll be heading to the Grand Prix on us here at SEN. A four-day general admission pass to the Rolex Australian Formula One Grand Prix, March 12th to 15th, this coming week at Albert Park. 1300 736 736. A few coming through on the speckled text. Carlton looking very ordinary. No progress whatsoever. My overreactions have been with my fantasy team. Every game I change a few players. Gold Coast Crow. Hi, Dwayne. My overreaction to the Swans woke mate finals for the next 3 years. Yeah, the Swans are obviously in a bit of a rebuild mode. Now, Luke Parker was on the show last week and I was kind of ridiculed by a couple on the text for asking him in the question whether he thought they were in a bit of a rebuild mode. He said they weren't. He said that they were still aiming to win the flag. But I think what we've seen from the Swans this year is that most fans and most onlookers believe that the Swans are in a little bit of a rebuild mode, even if the players are still aiming to win a flag. And when is the last time a key position player won the Rising Star like Max King will? I'll have to have a think about that. 1-300-736-736 if you've got an answer to that as well. Take a few of your calls after the break. Give away the four-day general admission pass to the Australian Formula One Grand Prix. Talk to Nick Salcedo as well, SEN and Fox Footy expert. That's sort of come on Dwayne's World. Your call's next.
Did you get up on stage with Katy Perry?
I'm absolutely fuming about that because I had to do a drug test and the rest of my teammates got up on stage.
No way!
And I saw the photos and our doctor came in and said, oh, how good was that getting up on stage? And I was like, are you kidding me?
A little bit of Rachel Haynes earlier today on SEN Breakfast talking about the fact that she didn't get to go on stage with Katy Perry. She was doing a drug test. She was waiting to get that drug test done and she missed out. We'll talk to Meredith Gibbs at Federation Square very shortly. The celebrations continue down at Fed Square after our fantastic T20 World Cup win. Nick Dowsado with his overreactions. But 1-300-736-736, give me a few of your overreactions from the Mars series so far. I've given you mine, quite a few coming through on the text, but give away some tickets to the Australian Formula One Grand Prix in the next 10 minutes to the best caller, 1-300-736-736. Had one question about NAB Rising Star winner that was a key position player. Answer has come through on the text. Lee from Birkenhead, was Jesse Hogan a key position player? Yeah, he was. Jaden Stevenson kind of plays a key position for Collingwood as well, but he's not necessarily known as a hold-down key position player. So we won't count him. That was a couple of years ago, 2018. Jesse Hogan, 2015, was. Daniel Talia, 2012, key position player. And there has been quite a few when you go back in the history of the NAB Rising Star. Nick Riewoldt won it. Justin Kaczynski won it. And Nick Holland also won it. So there has been quite a few key position players win the NAB Rising Star. So it's not extraordinary to think that Max King might win it as well. 1-300-736-736 is the number. Coming to your calls shortly. Meredith Gibbs, though, is at Federation Square. So let's soak up a bit of the mayhem and enjoyment down there. Welcome back to you, Meredith. Great to have you back on the program again.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be with you, Dwayne. Look, this crowd, it's ready to party. I'm telling you right now, I'd say at least 1,000 people down here, and they are so excited. We can actually see the cricket team upstairs at one of the buildings, and it was pointed out, and you should have heard the crowd. Oh, they got so excited, and they kind of started screaming and cheering, and it's a bloody great atmosphere down here at the moment. There's a sea of gold because a lot of people are wearing these beautiful yellow shirts. And then let's not forget the kids as well, who have put green and yellow wall paint on their faces to celebrate the win.
And that's one of the beautiful parts of it. It's inspiring the next generation down there, Meredith, at the moment after that performance. The kids are coming. Absolutely. They want to see their heroes.
They do, and they're so excited. They're up on their parents' shoulders. Like, it doesn't matter how old they are. There's some older kids down here, you know, 10, 12. But then there's the real young ones as well, and they're on mum and dad's shoulders just to get a better glimpse of their heroes. There's some kids right up front as well that clearly have been there for a couple of hours, because that's what I hear. You had to be down here pretty early. So, yeah, so they're just here to see their heroes.
Great to see, Meredith. Now, can we come back to you in about 10 minutes when the girls walk out on stage? I'd love to get the reaction if we can.
Absolutely. Give us a call back.
All right, Meredith Gibbs at Federation Square with the celebrations continuing after our World Cup T20 win. Nick D'Alessandro about to join me. Dennis in Geelong. Let's go to the calls as promised. Welcome to you, Dennis.
G'day, Dwayne. Look, Geelong, they've got to be better than last year. They've got Jenkins, Stevens, Hawkins will play hopefully in finals. Duncan will hopefully play in finals. They didn't have them against Richmond and led by nearly 5 goals. So, look, I think Geelong, they're going to be there. They're going to be in the top four.
So they finished the home and away season top last season, Dennis. So that's the interesting part to me. They have to make sure they've got everyone fit and not suspended in the finals, because you're right, Hawkins got suspended. Duncan wasn't available. Nakia Cockatoo is always injured. So let's hope the growth factor of a couple of those young kids, and let's hope the age factor doesn't kick in where a couple of their stars don't quite deliver as much as they have in recent years. You know, the aging Hawkins, the aging Joel Selwood, the aging Patrick Dangerfield. I'm hoping that they don't necessarily fall off the cliff in 2020, that they wait until 2021 to do that, Dennis. This is the last roll of the dice for some of those guys, isn't it?
Absolutely. It is the last roll of the dice. Chris Scott, I think it's his last roll of the dice. I think everything's on the line this year. Look, I go to their training sessions at Deakin Uni and I see what they're doing. Look, I couldn't be more impressed with what's happening. Nasir Cockatoo, that's sad. 4 to 5 weeks again, hamstring. But look, we're not out of it. We could win it.
Oh no, I agree with you there, Dennis. Absolutely, I agree with you. Back in the firing line. I just want to see them today first. And speaking of today, Nick D'Alessandro is going to be part of SEN and Fox Footy's commentary today in the early game. Nick D'Alessandro, back to your calls shortly, 1300 736 736 and give away the F1 tickets. But Nick D'Alessandro has been good enough to join me for a couple of minutes. Welcome to you, Dal. Great to have you back.
Good afternoon, Dwayne. Lovely to be with you as always. Yeah, just sitting just outside the ground, just out of Tasmania. Just out of Hobart, apologies, down here in Tasmania, with the Kangaroos about to take on the Sydney Swans in their second hit out of the Mars series. So really looking forward to a good game of football.
Absolutely. What have you thought? What's your overreactions in your mind so far from the whole series? Is there someone you've been extremely impressed with or someone you've been a little bit disappointed with? You've watched as much of it as I have.
Yeah, I've covered a fair bit of footy in the first 2 or 3 weeks of this preseason. It's actually a complicated question because I think no matter who you support or whatever game you're watching, there's blocks within that one particular game that you get really excited about your team. But then within 15 minutes, half an hour, the next quarter, you think, geez, I'm really, really concerned. I was at the game last night with the Blues taking on the Brisbane Lions, and within that first quarter, I was concerned for the Brisbane Lions. They just didn't turn up. It was like the old saying, they just did not show up at the start of that game. But then after quarter time, and after Fagan had addressed the group and speaking to a couple of the players post-game, they flicked the switch. So this is something to keep an eye on going on throughout the season, because a few of the players actually mentioned, the Brisbane Lion players, that this often happens to them when they play away from home, that they get jumped at the start of games and really need to address that. So I was probably disappointed with the Blues after that first 20-odd minutes, but then ultimately really impressed with the Lions. And to score over 100 points after such a slow start, you know, we know how important the defence, but just this, once again, this little bit of a flow that offence is just starting to balance it out again. I was really pleased with the way that Lions went about it yesterday and got that job done.
Yeah, and conversely, in terms of ladder position jump, I think a lot of people thought Carlton might be the team that jumps the highest from last year. But I've been really impressed with St Kilda. They've got so many new players from other clubs. They've got Hanbury back fit. Geary didn't play a lot of footy last year. Robertson didn't play any footy last year. And they've added Howard, who looks really solid in defence from day one. They've added Paddy Ryder, so they've got a backup ruck for Marshall, and we know King's going to be a star. There's no doubt whatsoever there. And they were 14th last year. So in terms of ladder position jump, they could be the ones that jump the furthest.
And then the one name that you haven't mentioned is Brad Hill. And we know how much of a star he's been for the last decade or so across two other football clubs before he comes to the Saints. And I mean, I love the way that Brad Hill plays his football. And you mentioned all those names, Dwayne, and Zach Jones has a run yesterday and, you know, plays, you know, a solid game of football. So I think the challenge for St Kilda will be to bring them all together. So you've got guys from, you know, some young players coming through, and, you know, Max King's that example of a young guy coming through. And still needing to learn a lot about the game and, you know, for his body to be able to hold up as well. But then you bring in four or five guys in from different football clubs over the last couple of years, and just how do they work in together? Do they know the detail of each other at crucial moments to be in the right position? And just those finer little, you know, percentages that just might get them over the line. And I still don't know if Saints make the finals, Dwayne. I mean, that's my overall you know, thoughts on the Saints this year. But in regards to improvement, I think for the first time in, it feels like 4 or 5 years, I think the Saints' conversation around them, they'll be going up the ladder opposed to staying where they had been.
Absolutely. And I think having an experienced coach like Brett Ratten is a godsend for them as well, to be able to get that group to get some chemistry together really quickly. Hey, before I let you go, Dow, what are you expecting today, both in Hobart and then at Colac with Geelong and Essendon? What are you expecting from the two games?
Well, first of all, the one here, and speaking to a couple of the Kangaroos boys in the last half an hour or so, this is a full dress rehearsal for them. They felt that their previous encounter with the Dogs going back a couple of weeks, they lost by 44 points. That was not good enough. And then I was also in Blacktown last week when the Giants took on the Swans, and then the fallout from that 94-point loss by the Swans. I think today's going to be a really good contest. So I would expect both teams to respond. And it's not necessarily about the win, but it's probably more the way they go about it when they put the ball in hand, because both were pretty poor in their first encounter. But I just think the attack on the opposition will be significant today. So that's what I'm looking forward to today. And I just heard you speaking about Geelong in this game coming out this afternoon. They're still an unknown for me. Now, they're not an unknown like Carlton and St Kilda and the Gold Coast Suns, but just they're at the top end now. So I'm still want to see how they roll out this team, how these older players back up after another pre-season. Can this young group come through? So I'm just going to hold on the Cats. I'm just not quite sure where they're at right now.
Great to have you, Dow. Look forward to you being in the studio a bit later in the week. I'll talk to you then.
Look forward to it, Dwayne. Have a good day.
Nick D'Alessandro down in Tasmania in Hobart, SEN and Fox Footy star ahead of the North Sydney game. And looking forward to that on SEN as well, North and Sydney a little bit later on. And then it's the Geelong and Bombers game from Colac coming away on SEN as well. Okay, to your calls, Roger and Adam, I know you're on the line. I'm coming to you straight away. 1-300-736-736 if you want to jump in the queue. Speaking of jumps, on the speckle text, Saints won't jump as much as the Kangaroos or the Suns. I think the Gold Coast Suns are a chance to jump two or three spots. Now, the Suns could still finish last and actually win two or three more games than last year. That's the issue with jumping two or three spots. But, yeah, the Gold Coast Suns have been really impressive, but they are always impressive preseason, so I'm trying not to buy into them too much. But, yeah, I'm excited about seeing the Suns in the first couple of weeks of the season, which is a great thing to be able to say about the Wooden Spoon winner from last year. Roger in Hawthorne, you want to talk the Cats? Talking to you, Roger.
Good day to you, sir. Look, I've got an issue with Geelong. They're still the only Victorian side with a genuine home ground advantage. They should win 90% of their games at home. They don't play any strong clubs down there. And this business of them getting a final down there, that'll create another rush on toilet paper.
Because I know what it'll do to everybody else who hate the thought of it. Yeah, I'm with you, Roger. I don't think they'll ever get a final down there. I think that's now pretty much sold to them by the AFL. But they do win the majority of their games down there. That's been the, well, it's their poison and it's their tonic, because they win so many games down there, they finish high on the ladder, and then they come to the MCG on grand final day and have to play as a home game what is essentially an away game against a Richmond or a Collingwood. And that's where they've been coming unstuck, at the MCG against the big Melbourne team. So, yeah, they beat the West Coast of the MCG last year. So the MCG doesn't hold any fears for them against the interstate teams, where it is kind of Geelong's home ground. But as soon as they land at the MCG against Collingwood or Richmond, they have hit a brick wall. But in saying that, you know, they didn't fall short by much against the Tigers last year. And as our previous caller said, they didn't have Hawkins and they didn't have Mitch Duncan in that game, but hey, the Tigers didn't have Alex Rance either. What about the D's? Jury's still out on me with the D's. I think they will improve a couple of spots, but I can't see them making the eight. That's another through on the speckled text as well. And another, love your show. Can you help answer why Essendon are looking for another ruckman? Shouldn't it be a tall key forward? We have four ruckmen on the list already. Well, Geelong's had four ruckmen on their list for the last 5 years, but haven't necessarily been sold on any of them being the number one ruckman for them. So that's the issue with having a lot of ruckmen on the list. You still need a number one ruck. You still need a Gawn if you can find one. You still need a Brody Grundy if you can find one. 1-300-736-736 is the number. Going to head back to Meredith very, very shortly down at Federation Square to get the reaction when the girls walk out on stage, our victorious T20 team. Adam in Airport West, I'm coming to you as well. 1-300-736-736 if you want to get in the queue behind Adam. But a quick break for some news headlines, and then we're straight back to Fed Square and your calls. Great to have you company. Thanks for joining me. 1-300-736-736 is the number. Meredith is down at Federation Square, so we'll head back to Meredith Gibbs very shortly. And we'll also have a chat to Shane Heal, former NBL and NBA star. He's been commentating the NBL finals. He's been commentating the whole NBL season. And game one of the grand final series was won late yesterday, last night, by the Perth Wildcats over the Sydney Kings in Sydney. So that's going to be massive, massive, their next game in Perth, if they can go 2-0 up. Adam in Airport West, I'm coming to you shortly, but Meredith Gibbs is down at Federation Square. And you're in the middle of it, Meredith. Welcome back.
Well, it's good to be back. I can see the girls just off to the side. The crowd is hyped. This crowd wants to see the girls. They want to welcome them on stage. There, here we go. I don't know if you can hear this, Dwayne. But... this crowd is absolutely ecstatic.
Nice work, Meredith.
One by one. To be honest with you, Dwayne, if I could describe this crowd, I'd say it's going off like a frog in a sock.
Thank you very much, Meredith. I'll put that through my thought process and try and work that out. Meredith Gibbs down at Federation Square, and it is on down there with the T20 World Cup winning girls on stage. Fantastic to hear. And nice to be able to bring it to you. Shane Heal not far away, but Adam in Airport West, you wanted to talk to Bulldogs. Welcome to you, Adam.
Thanks for taking my call, Dwayne. Yes, so the Bulldogs, I'm a North Melbourne fan myself, but watching the Bulldogs dismantle us in round one, certainly, you know, a lot of people talking about how strong they will be this year, and that's deserved. The funny overreaction I've heard is actually about Bont's game.
Yep.
And a lot of the like fantasy football community have been really upset about how big a game he had, and the fact that he's now going to attract all this attention from all the taggers in the first 10, 12 rounds of the season, and now they're kind of talking themselves out of picking him because they're so worried that he's not going to be able to replicate that. So it's been so funny to kind of hear a lot of the talk from a lot of the, you know, a lot of the experts about the fact that he's now, you know, he's unpickable now, and why did everybody let him go so big, large, and all this sort of thing. It's been really quite a funny overreaction, to be honest.
I think he's going to have a ripper season. I've done both of the Dogs games for Fox Footy, and they're really impressive against North Melbourne, and they were pretty damn impressive against Port Adelaide as well. So that game, look, to be honest, it's hard to, you know, draw an exact amount of belief from a club out of their Masters Series games. But I reckon the reality is the Dogs are in the firing line again in 2020. And I like the fact that they've evolved to the point that Marcus Bontempelli is now a real leader. And that's something that I enjoyed seeing in the first couple of Masters Series games heading into round one as well. So I'm a believer in the Dogs. Adam, appreciate your call. Dwayne, your thoughts on the Dogs from Luke as well. Absolutely, I'm a believer in the Dogs. I've always been a Luke Beveridge fan, so I kind of like the way he coaches. And I'm a bigger Marcus Bontempelli fan than ever right now. So, yeah, good signs for the Dogs. A couple of others on the speckle text before we take a break and take some more calls. Dwayne, I'd hold fire on Carlton. Wait till Curnow and Mackay are back. And as I said, I think Carlton will improve in terms of their wins and losses in 2020 compared to 2019. I just don't know if they're going to improve quite as much as we thought because they've got so many injuries. And I'm not sure when Charlie Curnow is going to be right. And even when he comes back, is he going to be 100% right? So I'm a little concerned with that. From the same texter, Mark, agree with Port, Saints and GWS. I'm annoyed with people saying the West Coast will struggle after watching pre-season and Richmond won't struggle. Tigers got beaten twice by two good teams. Concerns for them? I don't have any concerns for the Tigers whatsoever. I think that they will still be the team to beat in 2020, no doubt whatsoever. But I do believe that the West Coast, even though they haven't won a preseason game, they'll be there again. They took a couple of guys off yesterday. They had it all under control yesterday. The scoreline didn't bother them at all. So I'm not too concerned about the West Coast. They'll be at the top end. They'll be top four, and I'll probably still pick them for the flag, even though they haven't won a pre-season game. More of your text, more of your calls. Shane Hill to come after the break, and looking forward to having a chat to Adam Kearney later on as well. So plenty still to come on Dwayne's World. Stick around. Back after this. Great to have you with me. 1-300-736-736. Shane Hill, not far away. And a few more of your calls and speckled texts coming through on a few of your overreactions from the Masters series so far, two games to come. Hi, Dwayne, your thoughts on the Hawks. Cheers, Alan. Look, Alistair Clarkson's been around the block so many times, you can't really read that much into what the Hawks do pre-season. He's a clever unit, Alistair Clarkson. I know that he's obviously focused on round one, as all coaches are, but he probably experimented and mixed and matched, and I wouldn't be too worried about their preseason form. I like Alistair Clarkson, what he normally puts together, and I think they'll be competitive again, Hawthorn. I don't know. They don't have the cattle, I don't think, to win the flag, but Alistair Clarkson has proven so many people wrong so many times before. It wouldn't surprise me if they jumped up and jumped up three or four spots on the ladder. Isaac Rankin didn't play. What's the deal? Also, Rayner from Brisbane, another quiet game. Is he overrated? I think he is one of those players who's inconsistent at the moment, Rayner. So, and Isaac Rankin will play round one, I'm told, even though he didn't play any preseason games. So I'm told he's ready to go. But, yeah, Cam Rayner, he's inconsistent. He misses some shots that he should be able to get. But he still is relatively young, so I wouldn't say he's overrated yet. He's just taking a little bit longer than quite a few of other early draft picks who have landed into the AFL and been stars straight away. Saints are looking bloody good. Dwayne, you agree with that. Another one coming through on the speckle text, Geelong. So the Cats have a lot of home games, do they? 9 only at Cadinia Park, 2 or 3 home matches less than every other club. Certainly 2 or 3 less than the interstate clubs who get the full 11 at the Adelaide Oval and the full 11 in the West, or 10 at least, because they play one showdown and one derby. But yes, they do play the top sides at Cadinia Park as well, West Coast, GWS, yeah, and the Western Border. So, yeah, that texter is correct. They do play some of the best teams at Cadinia Park, and they do only get 9 games. They're forced to play home games in Melbourne a couple of times as well. 1-300-736-736, another one from the Traralgon Tiger, reckons that Richmond seem to treat their two Masters series practice games as intra-club games and just glorified practice matches. They had nothing to prove, the Tigers, in the preseason comp. They're the reigning premiers, so yeah, you're right. What they do in round one is what we're going to talk about, and the way that it stands right now, they're going to demolish Carlton in the opening home and away game of the season. Overreaction from Frank in Perth. Dockers win over the West Coast is an overreaction. Last 10 minutes, West Coast already put the cue in the rack. Kennedy sat out the last quarter and Barras played full forward. Dockers played the game like it was a final, showed good spirit and did well considering the injuries, but need to look at the whole game. 3.5 quarters, only kicked 3 goals, still have a long way to go. The Dockers do have a long way to go, but the good part about the Dockers is they are kind of a must-watch to see if their kids improve and how much they improve and what kind of coach Justin Longmuir ends up being. All the new coaches won't be spectacular successes in their first year. So I think it's going to be hard for Justin Longmuir to actually have the Dockers in the firing line for a spot in the eight, which Ross Lyon did have them in the firing line for a spot in the eight until about round 18 last year. Thanks for your text, Frank, though. Cricket Australia CEO Kevin Roberts has just addressed the crowd at Federation Square. Here's a little bit of Kevin Roberts.
Last night was a momentous occasion for all of us, for the amazing women here who represent our country so proudly as great ambassadors. But it's not possible without the 86,000 people who turned up, the many hundreds of people who put the event on. So we'd love to acknowledge Nick Hockley and the World Cup management team who made it possible for all of us to experience these champions on the field last night. So thank you to the World Cup team.
Yeah, nice address of the crowd there. And we'll hear from the coach of the Aussie T20 team very shortly. Shane Hill's been good enough to join me, NBL and NBA star turned commentator. Great to have him on the program again. Welcome to your hammer. Great to have you.
G'day, Dwayne. Yeah, good time to be on, mate, with these NBL playoffs. They've been cracking games.
Absolutely, they've been cracking games. And it seems as if every year we roll around to this time of year and I'm excited to be calling games two and three as well of this part of this grand final series. But the same thing happens every year. Bryce Cotton just looks a class ahead of them when the whips start cracking.
Well, he's a freak. Well, you know, and no one should be surprised because you're right. He just continues to get it done. And you only have to cast your mind back a couple of years where he dropped 45 points at home in the grand final win as well. And last night, 32 points. He was incredible. And the Kings had absolutely no answers to be able to take him out of any sort of rhythm whatsoever. And that spells danger signs for the Kings.
And you've done this in your career as well. Sometimes it looks like you've got to change the game. What, he was only 2 of 5 from three-point land last night. So, what, he was 11 of 22 from the field. So he changed it up a little bit. And he was kind of throwing too many different things at them for them to stop as well.
Well, I think the thing is that he beat the analytics of the way Will Weaver and the Sydney Kings play, because their whole mindset is that, you know, they'll take him off the three-point line. They put the big man back in the middle of the key because they say it's a low percentage shot to shoot twos, mid-range twos. And he said, all right, well, I'll just show you what I think of your analytics and I'll just drop 32 points. And I don't even need to do it from three, because he started penetrating. He hit those twos that they challenged him to be able to make. He got 8 free throws as well. But he's just dynamite moving off the ball to be able to create space. And, you know, there has to be a serious adjustment from the Kings. But I just don't think that they're going to make any adjustment. I think that they've said, well, this is what we do. This is the way we play. We've done it all year. We're top of the table. And we're not going to change.
So basketball teams check out the analytics. They look at the numbers and they stick to what might work according to the numbers in every different facet of the game. And yet Casper Ware, who was none of nine from the three-point line, still takes the final three-point shot to win the game. So how are the analytics going there? Because he finished none of 10.
Well, I think the analytics are great, and I think you've got to look at those and you've got to study those. But, you know, that's a blanket number across everybody. You've also got to take into effect what individuals do and what superstars do, and you've got to take those guys out of the game, because if you let them be able to do what they do, they're going to burn you every single time. The other side is that Casper Ware has had a terrible season. And I think it's come down to the fact that they're equal opportunity. He's averaging, you know, poor numbers, but also poor percentages for the Sydney Kings as well, because they don't make him a focal point. At Melbourne United, they gave him the ball. They ran plays for him like Perth are doing for Bryce Cotton. And they said, go get it done. But last night, it was like he didn't know when he was going to get an opportunity to be able to shoot the ball. So whilst he might have missed 10 shots, they came in dribs and drabs. He just wasn't a focal point, and I think that has to change as well.
So Andrew Bogut was a star. He really raised his game, and they needed him too, but he didn't have a lot of friends. Can they change it against the Wildcats in Perth? Can they actually get it right and make this series the five-game series we hope it might be?
Well, they can. They've got the talent to be able to do it. Will they? I don't think so. I don't think they'll make the adjustments. I don't think they'll make Casper, you know, a focal point. I don't know that they'll make the adjustments they need to on Bryce Cotton. So I think they're rolling the dice, you know, with history and thinking that they're number one. But the history that I would look at is they've lost 4 straight games to the Perth Wildcats. So what they're doing hasn't worked. They're walking in, you know, to the hardest arena to be able to get wins at, and they're really going to have to play something different. And the other thing they're going to have to change is their subbing. Jay Sean Tate had 5 points in the first 63 seconds of the game, and they took him out after 2 minutes 43. He only finished with 9 or 11 points for the game because he had no rhythm. Oh, the world's gone mad, Duane.
It has, Hammer. So you're predicting that the Friday's game will be the Wildcats winning in Perth. Will they win it in 3 by winning back in Sydney on Sunday?
No, I think that I think Sydney can bounce back at home. You know, we'll learn a lot from game 2, but I'd like to think that the Kings will get one. They've had unbelievable crowds. They talk about the Kings getting 15 or 16,000 for that game on Sunday. So this could be a record audience and attendance at games, playing in the 2 biggest venues. So great for the league for that. And I think we'll be going back to game 4, and Perth might get it done in Perth.
So were the crowd vocal enough? You were there last night. They didn't seem as vocal. I was at Melbourne United's game against the Kings where they were 50 up at halftime, and that crowd was, they wouldn't sit down. So were the Kings, are they emotional enough, the crowd? Do they rev them up enough? Why did they seem a little flat? Why have they gone a little flat in the last 2 weeks?
Well, I'm not sure that's the case, Duane. I was at the game where the Kings came back from 16 down with 6 minutes to go, and it was the loudest I've ever heard a Sydney crowd since we won the first championships. The crowds have been unbelievable. They had nearly 12,000 there in that latest game, and that was the third game that the Kings had played at home in 1 week. So unbelievable to be able to get that many people. People are spending, they're getting into it. The crowd was loud. Because let's not forget that Sean Bruce and also Casper Ware had the opportunity to win the game for the Kings as well. And they were very, very loud and into it when it looked like the Kings had sort of lost another game.
All right, Hammer, I look forward to working with you on Friday and Sunday. Thanks for your time, and look forward to catching up.
Good on you, Duano. It's going to be cracking games, as we said, so tune in.
Shane Heal, former NBL, NBA star. Game 2 Friday night, Game 3 of the Grand Final Series on Sunday, but it's best of 5, so it might go the distance if the Kings can win in Perth on Friday night. Up next, want your calls on this number, 1300 736 736. It's what happens next. We're going to play some commentary from a notable moment in sport. You just have to give us a call and tell me what happens next for your chance to win Medallion Club tickets. So Medallion Club tickets up for grabs. Here's the grab, and after the break, I want your calls. So 1300 736 736. Here's the grab, and I'll take your calls for what happens next straight out of the break.
So 11 to 5 again, and again out of the centre. Lalich doing well to Heffernan. Second time he's taken out in a minute. Lucas Redder best, wrong side for him.
What happens next for National Tiles? With our everyday low prices, now you can get a quality finish for less.
What happens next? 1300 736 736. Have a listen again.
So 11 to 5 again, and again out of the centre. Lalich doing well to Heffernan. Second time he's taken out in a minute. Lucas Redder best, wrong side for him.
Medallion Club tickets up for grabs. A double pass to Essendon and Fremantle. Thanks to National Tiles with our everyday low prices. Now you can get a quality finish for less. National Tiles. Alex and Ascot Vale, what happens next, Alex?
Go, mate. Is it Gary Moorcroft's mark of the year?
Hold the line, Alex. You Lucas are a
best.
Winner.
Wrong side for him. Hooks it there. What a mark! Sensational!
He's taken the wind out of himself. And why wouldn't he? Because he sucked it in from the stratosphere when he was up there.
When that ball was kicked, I thought he's got no chance of marking it. And he's that hot. He just threw himself at it and it stuck. Joe Mussini just looked at the scoreboard and said, I want to see it again.
I tell you what, I look at Chris Terrence looking at the scoreboard and saying, I might have lost the car.
A little bit of Bruce magic, a little bit of Gary Moorcroft magic. He hurt himself on the landing for that as well and gave himself a long-term issue there. But, Alex, you're the winner, so congratulations. You're off to the Medallion Club. Thanks to National Tires, Alex. Congratulations.
Cheers, mate. Appreciate it.
He was spot on. You're coming through on the speckled text as well. Michael Moorcroft takes a screamer over Brad Johnson. Yeah, Brad Johnson has talked about it quite a bit. I worked with Brad a bit, and he had seen that one replayed every time it does get replayed. Talk some more basketball after the break. Got one through on the text here. Greatest choke of all time. Under 16 cricket grand final. One team making 113 and the other one going into bat and cruising at 2 for 111 and getting beaten chasing 113. That's on the speckled text. I wonder if that's actually true. That's an amazing choke if it is from the weekend. Talk some more of your text and your calls after the break. 1300 736 736, and then Adam Cooney to join me. More Duane's World next.
The greatest luxury adventures on earth. Abercrombie and Kent. Robot building supplies. Robots got it. On SEN, Duane's World with Duane Russell.
Welcome back to Duane's World. Back to your calls on the open line. Thanks to Werribee Kia, top dollar paid for all trade-ins at Werribee Kia. Haven't given away the Formula One tickets yet. 1-300-736-736. Got 4 tickets to the Formula One Grand Prix coming up this week. Speaking of which, 1-300-736-736, the number. If you give me a call in the next 10 minutes, you'll be a chance to win them. The Bahrain Grand Prix, no fans are going to be allowed in for that. It's still going to be run, the second race in the season. Race one is here in Melbourne. So pretty dramatic that the Bahrain Grand Prix, the latest to say that no fans are going to be allowed at their sporting event. One thing about Melbourne, we obviously don't mind being part of a crowd here at the moment. 1300 736 736. Are you going to be part? Were you part of the crowd yesterday? 86,000 record crowd at the MCG. Were you there yesterday? And I'd like to know what it was like. The crowds are going to Moomba again today. I got a park and came into work, and no one's shunning Moomba. They're all heading to Moomba with the bright sunshine and the Formula One Grand Prix this weekend. Ticket sales are ahead of where they thought they might be. So it looks as if no one's scared of a crowd here in Melbourne. Still loving your sport and still loving being part of it and getting out and about. So that's the good news here. Haven't mentioned a lot about coronavirus on this program. I'm kind of in the Jurgen Klopp side of things. He said a couple of days ago, sports people aren't experts, so we're the last people you should listen to. And every time you talk about coronavirus, the whole thing could actually change in 10 minutes. Every parameter could change in 10 minutes if the World Health Organization puts out a different briefing. So it's a waste of time really giving it any breath on this program. But in saying that, there seems to be a want to get out and be part of a crowd in Melbourne at sporting events at the moment. 86,000 at the MCG yesterday. Were you there? Give me a buzz. 1300 736 736. And are you heading to the F1 this weekend or to Moomba? You can get us on the Speckle text as well. 0499 811 16. The Speckle text, Speckle cash loans up to $2,000 paid fast. Adam Cooney is about to join me in the studio. So looking forward to having Adam and talking a little bit of footy very shortly with him about the Marsh Community Series and today's games, North Melbourne and the Sydney Swans and Geelong v Essendon, and the takeaways for Adam Cooney from the weekend. But before we head back to your calls and read a few more of your texts out, here's a little bit, and we were down at Fed Square where there's another big crowd because the successful T20 winning World Cup girls are there. Here's Alyssa Healy talking at Fed Square.
So, you did create a record and lose a record in the space of 5 minutes last night, but how about that? That's first ball four, and then from there it just went. How are you feeling out there?
Well, I think it settled our nerves really quickly. I said to Moons, they're nervous. When you get a full toss first ball, you know that you're on. So, what an unbelievable occasion. I think our group was unbelievable. It was probably the best game of cricket I feel like I've ever played in this group. So to be able to do it in front of 86,000 people is next level, and hopefully it's the start of something really special.
That noise at the start of the game, that was unbelievable. You're walking out there, announced in front of all those fans, but then just a little smile, little fist pumps along the way. How important was it to just make sure that it was just you two doing your job when you're out in the middle?
Well, I think this team embraced it a lot better than the other side, and I think that's ultimately what got us over the line in the end. I think we embraced that atmosphere, that environment, and it was a lot better than being at the Showgrounds game one. I feel like India got a bigger roar than we did, and then to see last night for us to get a massive roar, especially even in the warm-up, was sensational. So thanks to everyone who came out. It was pretty special.
It was very special being part of that side. So 50 came off 30 balls. That's the fastest ever 50 in an ICC tournament final, men's or women's, 20 over, 50 over. That's the fastest 50 of all time. I mean, you're just standing there smashing them everywhere. You're hitting flat bats over cover. You're smashing them straight. I mean, did you feel that you were on when you were out there? Was it just something that evolved? What, talk us through what was going on.
I don't know. Apparently I'm out of form, so I just swung hard and see what happened. But thanks Shefali for the lifeline in the first over. And after that, I just enjoyed the experience. It was such a nice wicket to bat on. And for me, it was, I trained for about an hour and a half the day before working on hitting spinners down the ground. And to be able to do that come game time was obviously a lot of fun. But yeah, I think we really just rode off the crowd last night. They were riding on every boundary we hit or every single we hit. So we just enjoyed every minute.
Alyssa Healy talking about riding off the crowd last night at Federation Square after 86,000 were at the MCG last night. Lee in Sunbury, I think, was there. Welcome to you, Lee.
Hi, how are you, guys?
Good, thanks.
Yeah, my seven-year-old son, he's got a top with Mooney on the back, and he actually wrote on a bit of paper Beth and tried to change the number to Beth's name. So I'm just saying, even the girls are inspiring the young cricketers. He's only a seven-year-old, and to watch Healy and Mooney open up like that, with a big crowd is quite inspirational to the younger generation.
Absolutely, and it looks like that's exactly what's happened at Federation Square today as well, with a lot of young kids, girls and young boys as well, being inspired by what they were able to put together, especially under the pressure they were under to win on home soil, and they had their shaky parts in the tournament, but they produced their best when it counted the most, and that is in the final at the MCG in front of that massive crowd. So well done to the crowd. Talked about it a bit the week before about Melbourne United being inspired by the crowd and that demolition job on the Sydney Kings. And I think the same was there yesterday. I think when the girls walked out and saw 86,000 fans there, they realised, what about the support? This is phenomenal. And it kind of rammed home to them how important they were to the Australian sporting landscape, which is great. 1300 736, thanks for your call. Lee, you can take some Formula One tickets if you like. I really appreciate your call. Thanks for giving me a buzz. 1300 736 736 is the number, 1300 736 736. If you'd like to join me, Dwayne's World for Robot Building Supplies. Robots got it. And we're here for the greatest luxury adventures on earth at Abercrombie and Kent. I've mentioned it a few times. If you haven't checked out the Abercrombie and Kent website, go to it. They've got safaris. They've got a brilliant list of places to go to everywhere around the world to go to Abercrombie and Kent for your luxury adventures anywhere on the earth. Dwayne's Ward for Robot Building Supplies as well on that open line for Werribee Kia. Top dollar paid for all trade-ins down at Werribee Kia. Drop down and see Jim and Janan and the team. They'd love to see you tomorrow if you're in the vicinity. 7-year warranties on all new Kias. Neil in Burwood, you were there last night as well. Neil, welcome to you.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I was there. First of all, I thought it was very well put on. It was a good show. But first women's cricket game I've been to live. I've watched plenty on TV. But I was extremely disappointed from the arrangement of the oval. The boundary is 15 metres minimum inside the metal fence that surrounds the G. And I'm a member, so I go a hell of a lot. And there was really only 1 6, and that was one of Healy's. I think it might have been her first one, because I even remarked to my son, who was with me, well, at least that's a real 6. But from that point of view, you can only ever get ones or boundaries. We got a couple of doubles last night, but you could never run a 3, even if you make a very good shot. And I... From that point of view, I think the women will get better, but just because more cricket they play, and they do play a very high standard. The bowlers were good, and the outfield catching from the Australians was fantastic. But that said, you really got to open the ground up a bit. I mean, one decent hit, and it's a 4.
So you have to make it bigger, even though there might not be any sixes. You want to bring the boundary back out a bit, even though you might not see a 6. Or do you want to bring it in a bit more?
No, I definitely don't want to bring it in anymore. Right. I want to bring it out to what the men play at.
Yep.
And if there's no sixes, it just encourages them to hit it harder. And that's where the excitement is. They'll still get sixes and they'll still get fours. But the field will have to be spread. There's just so many balls that... go for one. And the running between wickets from the Australians was quite fantastic. In fact, we outplayed them in every aspect of the game. Their catching was poor. But that said, there was a lot of Indians there.
Oh, absolutely.
They went home disappointed, which is always pleasing to me. But I'm an Oz.
Thank you, Neil. Anyway. Appreciate your call. 1300 736 736 on what Neil's saying about the boundary. I've mentioned this a few times. In every sport, if you compare women against men, there's going to be that power differential. So it doesn't matter what sport you talk about. If you talk about golf, women don't tee off the same tees as the men. The men tee off from further back than the women because the power is an issue. It's the same with every sport. We talk about the 100-metre sprint at the Olympics. There's always going to be a differential between what the men can run over 100 and what the women can run over 100 because of the power differential. So it's absolutely expected that the power differential is going to be a factor. If you compare women's cricket to men's cricket, and as I've talked about on this show a bit, I don't like to compare women's football to men's football because of the power differential means they can't kick as long and it takes more kicks to get from one end of the ground to the other and the scoring is going to be less. But let's just look at women's football as women's football, and I suppose we should probably look at women's cricket as women's cricket. Now, the football is played, a lot of the footy games, the AFLW games, are played on smaller grounds, obviously, for that reason. But when you go to the MCG, it does look a little funny, given that the boundary is in so far. Before Adam Cooney joins me, we talk about some footy and take some more of your calls. Yeah, heaps of twos coming through on the speckled text. They did run a three. Why be a jerk about it, mate? Yeah, you just have to accept women's cricket as being different to men's cricket and accept that there's a power differential in all sports when you compare the men to the women. 1-300-736-736 is the number. Meg Lanning also spoke at Fed Square. I'll play you a bit of that before Adam Cooney joins you as well. But Rowan in Diamond Creek's been good enough to jump on the line. You were there last night as well. Rowan, welcome to you.
Hello, Dwayne. No, I wasn't, mate. I was on the bush. But
okay. With
that last gentleman, his comments, look, he said a lot of positive things. It wasn't, it was just his opinion. I think for a 2020 match, the boundary was in the right spot, so you can have sixes in that. Maybe in a one day or it would 5 metres or so. That way you do, you get your threes and there's a bit more running involved. But a great spectacle, and I actually thought the Indians had win, so brilliant effort.
And the crowd, it was a good mix last night. The crowd, it was played in great spirit. It would have been nice to have been a little closer, or did you kind of enjoy the demolition job in the end, Rowan?
Yeah, I always like a demolition. It's like when the Pies are playing Geelong, Dwayne, and they enjoy that too.
Thanks for rubbing it in. Absolutely. It's always one-sided when it's at the MCG, even if I throw it back to you in light-hearted jest, even if Geelong have the home game against Collingwood at the MCG. Thanks for your call, Rowan in Diamond Creek. Thanks to all of my callers. Always a pleasure to have you. Got one through on the speckled text talking about Mark Leishman. Mark Leishman, 3 under par, finished second at the Arnold Palmer Invitational this morning behind Englishman Tyrell Hatton, who was 4 under, so missed out by just the one. Adam Cooney about to join me. We'll head back to your calls and read some more of your speckled texts as well. But before that, here's a little bit of the celebration still at Federation Square from one of our champions.
So you didn't smile much on Saturday when we had a team appearance, but you got a nice smile now. It's amazing what a couple of hours out in the middle of the MCG can do.
Yeah, you can't wipe the smile off my face at the moment. The last five overs of that fielding innings, it's not often you get to soak it all up and know that you've won, but the crowd was incredible, and it's just certainly a very special night.
So many magical moments throughout the course of the night, but just little things, looking around that 15th over, everyone holding up the torches and lighting it up, the buzz amongst the players running everywhere, they just left-hand, right-hand combinations, they're running absolutely everywhere. The energy was unbelievable. Did you feel that when you're out there as well, when you had a good score to defend, but did you feel that from the first over?
Yeah, we were switched on right from the get-go. We knew at the halfway mark that we'd still have to bowl really well to get the win, and that the first over set us up in both batting and bowling innings, really. The wicket of Verma from Shooter, who apparently Verma's got the wood over, I'm not really sure about that. But that sort of set us up really nicely, and from then on, it was very unstressful, which I'm very thankful for, given the couple of games beforehand.
What is it like? I mean, we spoke about how much success this team has had in the fifth title of the T20 World Cup champions. Where does this one sit for you, knowing that you've had so much success and you've led an amazingly talented group of sportsmen over the course of time? Where does this one sit?
Oh, it's definitely at the top. All the ups and downs that have happened throughout the last few weeks, the massive build-up to this final that we had last night, you know, for 2 years or more, talking about, you know, hoping to be there and striving to be there, and then to make it to the biggest day and perform so well on the biggest stage is something I'm really proud of, and really proud of the group. You know, we fought really hard for this one, as Motti said. It wasn't easy, but we scraped through a few games, and then just to put out a clinical performance on the last day is something really special.
A little bit more of Meg Lanning down at Federation Square as the celebrations of our T20 World Cup win continue. Quite a few coming through on the speckled text. Adam Cooney about to join me, but a couple of your speckled texts before that. 0433 98 11 16. Speckled cash loans up to $2,000 paid fast. If they're going to have a boundary in so far, wouldn't it look better if they allowed kids to sit on the grass? Absolutely, it does. We've seen that quite a number of times, fans and kids sitting between the fence and the actual boundary rope. So, yeah, that would be good. I'm not sure if you're allowed to, because the parameters for a World Cup T20 might be a little different than it is for domestic cricket, but that's not a bad suggestion as well. And one, having a crack at Neil. The setup with the boundary is perfect. This is from another texter. Women are not as powerful as the men. Footy should be played on smaller grounds also. Well, a lot of the AFLW games are played on smaller grounds. And that texter, Craig, about Mark Leishman, hope you got that one from a little bit earlier. 1-300-736-736, another one on the speckle text. I've played and watched basketball since the late 60s. This is in regard to Shane Hill being with me earlier on and talking about the NBL Grand Final series. I love the NBL. However, I can't watch the NBA. All the players in offense stand outside the four-point line. Someone either takes a shot or one in five. The system in the NBA right now is bizarre. The Houston Rockets have gone small ball. They're letting all their guys take shots from outside the three-point arc. So if they have a day on where they're all hitting their three-point shots, then they win. If they're having a day off where they're not hitting their three-point shots, then they lose. And it's going to be enough for them to make the playoffs, but it ain't going to be enough for them to win the championship. They're not going to beat Milwaukee. They're not going to beat the Clippers. They're not going to beat the Lakers with that kind of small ball. But they're going to do enough to actually make the playoffs, the Houston Rockets, which is, if that's what they're after, well, maybe good enough. But they're not going to win it. Adam Kearney joins me in the studio. Thanks for your text, by the way. John in Brisbane. Now, welcome to you, Kearns. Great to have you in.
Hello, Dwayne. Do you think that was a good idea to get rid of Clint Capela then from the Rockets and play that small ball?
Oh, well, at the moment, if all they want to do is make the playoffs, it's going to work for them. Absolutely, it's going to work for them. I don't mind watching them because it's a little different and it's a little crazy. But we all know every season they do the same thing. They make the playoffs and they can't win it. James Harden is going to have this record forever with a little asterisk next to it, and that is whatever personal numbers you've got at the end of your career, how many championships did you win? And at the moment, it's not flattering on that side of the ledger.
Did you see the Lakers-Clippers? Did you see the post-game interview with Pat Beverley?
I had a look this morning, but I had to jump in the car on the way in, so I didn't watch the end of it. How did it finish?
Lakers win easy? Yeah, they got up by 12, I think, in the end. And Pat Beverley was interviewed post-game, said that guarding LeBron was no challenge. And then they asked him another question about guarding LeBron. He said, no challenge. He said, how do you stop LeBron? It's easy. And I think he had 2 points, three turnovers, and his plus minus was about 19. So what a great day for Pat Beverley, but he was pretty confident trying to get into LeBron's head, but obviously didn't work. So would you rather watch NBA or NBL?
Well, I've had this argument, and I've actually opened the lines right now. 1-300-736-736. Quick question without notice, because it was a coffee room question that I was talking about a week or so ago. I reckon the gap between the NBL and the NBA is less than the gap between the A-League and the EPL. I've been watching a bit of EPL, and the skills in the EPL right now are ridiculous.
Yeah, that's fair to
and
say.
Those guys move the ball with such slickness and precision and accuracy. They are phenomenal. Whereas I look at Bryce Cotton, and I think he could play NBA. But I look at the A-League, and I think, I'm not too sure how many of our guys could step into the EPL. Yeah. But Bryce Cotton could. And Andrew Bogut did last year. He stepped straight from the Sydney Kings and went and played for the playoffs for the Golden State. 1-300-736-736. The NBA and the NBL versus the A-League and the EPL. Because I like watching the NBA, but I love watching the NBL because I don't think it's that far off. And, you know, we got the number one draft pick, LaMelo Ball, who played here. He'll be top four at least. And, you know, to think that the best 18-year-old in America wants to come here to Australia to play. That's a pretty good stamp of approval for our league. Nick in St Kilda. Welcome to you, Nick.
Yeah, afternoon, boys. Just wanted to say, the NBL's getting a lot better. I've always been NBA first, even though I'm a Perth Wildcats fan. But the NBL's getting a lot closer, and we've got players like Bryce Cotton and, you know, Casper Ware, and James Ennis used to play for the Wildcats, who went over to the NBA. So the talent's getting a lot better since, you know, Larry Kesselman took over the NBL and has turned it into probably the second best league in the world.
Yeah, build it and they will come. And Larry has certainly built it. Thanks for your call, Nick.